Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is Greg Markkanen, candidate for state representative in the 110th District. Greg, it's good to talk to you once more.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome. And you know, let's kind of dive right in with something that is right up your alley. Let's talk about education, yourself being an educator, and things that you would like to see, you know, adjusted, changed, or what we need to be able to focus on as a state for education.
Well, locally, we have a CTE millage, but I think, you know, the millage is just the first step. What I would like to see is two pathways to high school graduation, excuse me, where their students have a path to high school graduation on a vocational end and through the Michigan Merit curriculum. They could start doing job shadowing as early as ninth grade, get out and have the school, the local school districts could have a good working relationship with the private sector. Students could get out and do job shadowing, take some vocational math and language arts classes in ninth grade, start working on job skills, vocational skills in 10th, 11th grade, welding, electrician, culinary arts, cosmetology. And this would lead to a high school graduation. And they could cross over at any time to the Michigan Merit curriculum. But I think it would provide another opportunity for a lot of the students that we just are not meeting the needs of. Not everyone wants to go to college or university, but many many students want to get a vocational education.
Now, you mentioned about how locally there's a millage through the CCISD, and that's been good for our area. But what about the state? What is the state able to do?
Well, the governor's freed up some money, and I think the governor, Governor Snyder, and hopefully the next governor will put CTE as an emphasis in their budget as well, because you know the trades across the state are hurting for people. They need people in the jobs, carpentry, construction, welding, and up here in the Western UP, it's really critical because you know so many companies look at these local communities and they're looking for skilled workers, and it gives them our students an opportunity to stay local. Get a job, start a career, buy a house, start a family.
I know I've been on tours where they've taken students to various places, the Ford dealership so that they can see the service department, over at the hospital so that they can see, you know, some of the healthcare industry jobs that are available. To try to encourage that these kids, that their career paths that they can follow, that would actually be able to allow them to stay right here, and so they don't have to, you know, move away just to get a job, because it's such a great place to live. If you have a job and you can pay your bills, not finding a job, much different story. So it's kind of the encouraging those people to you know, when I was at their age, we were being told everybody had to go to college.
Right.
You know, that was the message, that if you didn't go to college, you weren't going to get a job. And even the people working at the fast food restaurants were all going to have degrees. I mean, if you didn't, that's what we were sold, you know, back in, you know, 30 years ago. Well, we found out that's not true. A lot of people ended up with those degrees that and the student loans that they really can't pay for. The flip side is that we ended up with a lot of job openings in those industries where people can fill and make good money.
Well, we have two good examples here with Jeffers High School, you know, and their alumni donating all that money to start a vocational center there, and the program up at Calumet High School as well, you know, with the welding program, that they're producing some graduates. And we're also blessed with Gogebic Community College, Bay Dinoc, which are golden opportunities to further their education and in whatever vocational skill that it might want. So, you know, I think the demand is going to continue to grow for these people and these skills, and we need to give them the opportunity right here in the Western UP.
We've seen some struggles here with teachers in their contracts in the public school system, yourself being one. You know, where do you find yourself coming down on that? I mean, we'd all love to be able to see teachers paid more, but if we're talking about spending money in education, well, of course, is in any business, your labor basically is your biggest expense, but also your most important.
Well, it's difficult because, you know, the per pupil funding, so many school districts now are trying to go for a millage with a sinking fund to improve their infrastructure. And you know, there's just so much money out there. I think that we need to get more equity across the board when per pupil funding, so you know, we can give teachers a little bit more increase in, like, say, 1%. Healthcare is an issue. We need to, you know, keep healthcare vibrant. We teachers need healthcare just like anyone else. The costs are going up, and you know, we could look at those statewide as well. Funding education, though, is, you know, across the state, it might be time to look at Proposal A and come up with another plan for funding our schools.
When I was going to school, but of course, it's going back a number of years, but I actually went to 3 different high schools at the time. We were moving around a lot. And I went from one area that was in Livonia, where the schools just had everything, you know, state of the art. This, of course, back in the 80s. But then I moved to an area that was, you know, the tax base was quite considerably lower, and that school had absolutely nothing. And, you know, I was dumb enough, or I guess, to say, hey, what's the difference? And was told, well, it had to do with the with where the schools were located. So is that a huge difference? Is it just because, you know, the areas up here, we don't have, what about revenue sharing? How come we don't have, you know, how come we're not getting the kind of money? We've got the same, you know, for the students, so.
Well, I think, you know, as the state continues to do better, unemployment's dropping and tax receipts are up. I think, you know, the state legislature, both the House and Senate, need to look at revenue sharing and spreading that piece of the pie a little bit more in the Western UP and across the UP as a whole. You know, communities like Houghton and Hancock and all the communities in the Western UP have taken a major hit since 2009, 2010. And, you know, passing millage after millage after millage is putting an extreme burden on our taxpayers, and especially people on fixed incomes, senior citizens. I think we need to push for more revenue sharing.
I'm always amazed with the job that school systems like Calumet and Dollar Bay Tamarack City, what they do on so little, and what they're able to produce, the quality of students that they're able to produce.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have a great alumni, just like Jeffers, and you know, the community, like any community in the Western UP, really support their school system.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit. One issue that seems everybody is talking about, though, that the solutions may be different, and that's addressing our auto insurance and you know, why Michigan would be among the highest to pay auto insurance. That always makes my head scratch when you consider we're not that much different than the states that surround us, yet we, something like auto insurance, we pay a lot more. There was a proposal that was defeated in the previous legislature here, and so it's back to the drawing board. Where do we go from here?
Well, I think, you know, hopefully the Republicans keep that majority in the House and Senate, and, you know, we look at another vote. We have plans in place. I know Bo LaFay in the 108th, there's a, you know, plan in place to put a cap on some of the benefits, put a schedule, you know, give senior citizens an exemption from the health care, because they're already covered with health care. So why are they, you know, double billed for that? We just need to put money back in people's pocket and cut that auto insurance by 40%. There's just too much fraud in the system across the state. I know, you know, there was a plan that was brought up, you know, by the trial lawyers, but, you know, it just, something has to be done. People are hurting. We're number one in the state, or number one in the nation, and we just need a change.
Recently, I was able to pay off something that was on my credit report. And it just so happened at that time that I was also in the market for a new car. And so when I called to have my insurance company to have a new quote, and they run your credit report when you get insurance, and they came back and said, whoa, wow, yeah, your insurance rate's going to drop a whole lot because your credit score improved by paying off that bad debt from years ago. Now, nothing about my driving history had changed. I had, you know, I had not been in any kind of accident. I had not received any tickets. I had, you know, nothing about, but yet I saw, I mean, it wasn't even close. It's a drastic change in what premium I was charged. So why, you know, could that be something that's addressed? I've heard that because it just seems to be kind of unfair that, you know, if it's not based on your driving record,
right,
you know,
right.
What are they basing it on?
Well, you know, this basing it on a credit rating, I think, needs to be addressed in the next possible bill in January or February. You know, like yourself and your experience, you know, basing your premium on your credit rating is not fair to any driver, especially if you have no tickets, you have no accidents. It shouldn't hamper you from buying a new vehicle. So,
and charging people different rates, charging women more than men. I mean, you know, how many years is the joke? Probably all the way back to when cars were invented, you know, men joking about women driving.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where it comes from. And maybe there's statistics to back it up. I don't know, but it still seems unfair.
Yeah, I've never seen statistics to back it up. But I guess when you're, you know, number one in the nation and things get out of control financially and the insurance companies see an opportunity and they take it. And I think it needs to be reined in, especially with the credit rating and basing your premium on that. It's just not fair to the consumers, and it's not fair to the people of the Western UP.
Last time we spoke, Greg, yours, that was during the primary, and so congratulations on that. But now you've been, you know, focusing on, you know, trying to actually win the 110th, going up against your opponent. As you're doing all this traveling, and the 110th district is a huge district.
Oh, yes.
What are you hearing when you're talking to people? You know, what's, I guess, the feedback on yourself and your campaign? What are you hearing?
Well, people, you know, across the 110 want representation. They want somebody who's going to listen, somebody who's going to be responsive, and listen to the needs across the communities that we have. Every community in the 110th district is very unique, has different needs, is looking at different opportunities for development. And I think, you know, they want a state representative that will help facilitate, not dictate. You know, every community, you know, has different opportunities on the back burner. And I think it's the responsibility of a state representative to, you know, be that go-between between the community and the state. To help facilitate, help bring any type of assistance that the community might need or individuals might need to, you know, help develop their plan, not to dictate, not to, you know, be an obstacle in any way.
Over the last few years, it's been a Democrat that has held this seat. So, you're looking to flip that seat. Does party affiliation come into play at all when you're talking to people? Are they looking for a change? Because one of the things that I usually hear about, specifically this particular seat, is that people look for a Uper, an Upper Peninsula person, rather than a party affiliate.
Right. Well, I think the national picture is playing into this, too. You know, my parents were Democrats, and, you know, they were John F. Kennedy Democrats, and I think if John F. Kennedy was alive today, he'd be a Republican, quite possibly. People look at what's going on nationally, and they, you know, they just are looking at somebody who's invested in the community, who has experience, has the leadership ability, somebody who is going to listen, is going to travel throughout the district, and be there when they need a state representative.
Are you seeing a wide range of issues? Are the people in Western Marquette County, are their needs different than those in Keweenaw County?
Well, I think they are to a certain degree. I think, you know, private property issues are big in Ontonagon County and Berrigan County. You know, there's issues with the energy, energy issues across the, you know, where you have two plants going back up, natural gas, Negaunee and out in Pelkey. You know, UPCO just asked for a raise here, increase in their rates. And, you know, people are concerned about this. You know, they're paying more for auto insurance. Now they're going to be paying more for energy rates. There's got to be a solution. And people are concerned. You know, it's money out of their pocket.
Yeah, the energy rates is, of course, that's something that comes up quite a bit. And yeah, you're right, the request for, and it's not even a small amount, it's 9.71%. Mm-hmm. It's going to be over $9 million, $9.9 million annually for UPCO. Yeah. You know, I'm sure if you're sitting over on UPCO's board, your argument is, we need it. You know,
right,
that
right.
There's, you know, there's a cost to provide the electric service to this area, to a remote area. But there is a point where if you're a resident here, enough is enough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to compete with Alaska and Hawaii as far as electrical rates. And, you know, people want options. They want to, you know, they want to have more net metering ability. Look at wind and solar. You know, more and more people are, you know, when they're building new homes, are going off the grid because they don't want anything to do with EPCO. You know, the rates are so high now that it's a detriment to development. Housing, you know, housing rates, new housing builds are going down nationwide. And I think a lot of this has to do with that.
And it's disconcerting to me when we, you know, we're spending all this money to build two new power plants and we think, oh, well, here we go. We're going to have two major power plants producing energy in the Upper Peninsula. And then we're told, yeah, that's great. And reliability will be improved, but the bills won't be going down.
No, that's very disappointing. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. I've been trying to spread the word when I go door to door. You know, the people, you know, these plants, while, like you said, reliability will be better, the rates are going to go up, and people are angry about that.
Is it a monopoly situation? There's I mean, can there be a competitor that comes up and you know, forces one company to look at providing a, you know, a service at a more affordable rate? I had Consumers Energy down in the Detroit area, but they don't operate up here. Obviously, no. We got, you know, it's Wisconsin companies that own us.
I think we need to look at options. We need to give people choices. And, you know, the Michigan Energy, or Conservative Energy Forum, has been doing studies. I know Michigan Tech has been doing studies. I think we need to look at alternatives. This is a problem along with auto insurance that needs to be dealt with.
All right. Well, a moment ago, I asked you about how people are responding to you out in the campaign. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about one segment of the community. There are veterans and what they're seeing in you that makes, you know, at least certain veteran organizations willing to support you.
Well, you know, as a veteran myself, you know, I'm very sensitive to veterans' issues, and I run into the Upper Peninsula across the board from east to west has a high percentage of veterans in almost every county. And I just feel, you know, from what I've heard knocking on doors and talking to people, you know, while we're doing, you know, some counties are, you know, Houghton County got a millage to keep their service officer going, we need to do a better job with our veterans across the board. World War II veterans are aging. Korean War veterans are aging. Vietnam age veterans are getting older and older. We need to maintain Iron Mountain facility, the Hancock facility. We need to do a better job. And I hear that over and over and over again, that while they're happy, you know, sometimes there's a lack in service. There's a waiting list. And, you know, I'm going to, you know, talk with our representative, Jack Bergman, about that, you know, this week. So hopefully we can improve that in next legislative session.
Yeah, I did have a chance to talk with both Jack Bergman and his opponent, Matt Morgan, last week. And, you know, we discussed veterans' issues. And so the VA is, you know, falls into the lap of the federal government. And that, you know, so there's medical care, but there are other veterans issues besides medical care that, you know, that doesn't fall into the feds. It's, you know, it's stuff that we can do locally.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's VA loans, there's, you know, VA educational benefits. There's the VA, you know, the veterans groups, the American Legion, the VFW. We can support them. You know, they had a wonderful Freedom Day in Chasso a couple weekends ago. And it was sponsored by the Chasso VFW, and they did an outstanding job. The place was, you know, it seemed like all of Chasso was there, and they were, you know, sharing their different programs with that they have for high school students. You know, essays on democracy. They had everything laid out in the Chasso VFW, and I was just, you know, honored to be there and, you know, circulate and talk to people and share my vision for, you know, veterans of the Western UP.
This is an interesting election. So much seems to be at stake, regardless of what party you're from, because when you look at Michigan, you know, when we have the governor's race up for two very polar candidates running, and then attorney general and secretary of state, and then The three statewide ballot proposals are all hugely impacting. Mm-hmm. When you look at the climate of the overall Michigan political situation, as yourself as a Republican running, if you were to even get into the legislature, if the state flips like that with that much of a difference and that much of a change in ideology of how it might affect what you would like to see done?
Well, the governorship, if it goes, one way, it could change the total dynamics. And if the Republicans keep the House and Senate and the we have a Democratic governor, I fear for that kind of situation. It'd be the same type of situation if the House and Senate in Washington flips, and President Trump would be at a virtual standstill, and the House and Senate would shut him down just at every turn. And I don't think that's what the American people want. They want to keep moving forward. I know the people of the Western UP. Unemployment is at a 50-year low. The state is moving forward, and we want to keep that moving forward. You want to keep the economy going strong.
Recently, the deal with Enbridge Line 5, and to bring this up sort of our environmental portion of the interview. But, mm-hmm. So a deal worked out to where Enbridge would actually pay to have a tunnel constructed to try to better protect the transmission lines there through the Straits of Mackinac. But as we're talking about, Gretchen Whitmer and others, mm-hmm. Dana Nessel, the Attorney General, well, they're pretty unapologetic. They want to just shut down and gone.
Well, where are we going to get that oil from? Where is it going to be shipped, and how are we going to circumvent the Straits of Mackinac? I mean, I understand the environmental concerns. Possibly this tunnel could be built safely. I like to think that it could. And we could keep that line open so we could benefit, the Upper Peninsula. Otherwise, there's another thing that rates will go up, and I don't think, the residents of the Upper Peninsula want that. So, if there's a safe environmental solution to this, I think we need to look at it short of shutting the line down.
Hmm. All right. We've talked about this before. You're a supporter of Second Amendment rights. We'll spend a minute or two talking about this, though, so it can always be a full 25-minute interview once you start really getting going.
Sure,
but
sure.
Are there things that we can do as a state that does not infringe on the Second Amendment but would apply some controls and ensure some safety when it comes to gun ownership?
Well, I think, one issue that's been brought up over and over again is to start getting some funding into mental health services. It is an issue, gun use with people who aren't mentally capable of having a firearm is a real concern. Excuse me. But on the other hand, if you're going to take someone's rights away, I think they need the due process of law. And so we have to be very careful with taking someone's Second Amendment rights away. But as a state, I think the real concern is mental health issues. We need to get some funding in place. We need to fund like Copper Country Mental Health in the Western UP and in other communities, so people have a place to get help, to get assistance. Right now, people are traveling to Marquette. They're traveling downstate. Some people I've heard are even going to Green Bay. And we should have services here in the Western UP. All that's going to take some type of revenue, and I see a real need for that. But at the state level, we need to, as the only candidate in the 110th district endorsed by the NRA, we need to protect Second Amendment rights. And there's, in my book, there's no compromise on that. It's just, we have to be very firm.
My guest is Greg Markkinen. He's candidate for the 110th district. We represent us in the state legislature. Greg, if people want to learn more about you, get to know more about your candidacy and things that you stand for, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, we have a Facebook, Elect Gregory Markkinen. I have issues on there. You can certainly message me on there. that's probably the best site. I also have email markkinen2018@gmail.com. You can contact me there as well, or call my home phone. I'm in the phone book. I still one of those people that still have a landline, and I'll take a call anytime concerned people want to talk about an issue.
All right. I appreciate your time. I know as a teacher you're busy, but I'm glad that we were able to get you in.
Yeah, thank you very much, Rick.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.